You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
All right, well, are you guys ready to dive in?
I think so.
I am ready to roll.
Okay, cool. How do you want to do this, Dave? You want me to host it this time, or you want to do it?
You go ahead, man. Okay. You're more my music guy, so I'll let you roll with it.
All right, sounds good. So we'll do another mixtape. It'll be a mixtape version.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
All right.
The making of a great compilation tape, like breaking up, is hard to do and takes ages longer than it might seem. You got to kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you got to take it up a notch, but you don't want to blow your wad. So then you got to cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
12 albums, 1 cent. Find our ad in Sunday's paper. Take it to your mailbox. You'll get a lot more music. You'll get a lot more life. Look in your Sunday paper.
Welcome, listener. For those about to rock, we salute you. This is our podcast dedicated to exploring and talking about the greatness that was the music of the best decade. If you're ready for the best in retro music topics on the planet, we present for your enjoyment 80s mixtape Auto Reverse.
Welcome back, everybody, to Banzai Retro Club. We are going to do another mixtape episode, and we're going to be talking about some new wave music again. And we have Suzanne joining us once again. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi there. Great to be back.
And Dave, our awesome podcast overlord, is with us also.
Thank you for getting the official title. Yes.
Yes.
I like that title.
Yeah, the overlord.
Yes, and I am the tangent king.
Supreme.
So we are talking. We're starting a new series tonight. So we're gonna go through 1979 through 1989. Of new wave albums, like ones that impacted each of us the most, or maybe that we pick out as either our favorite or just one that we want to talk about. It was kind of hard to do the research because the new wave stuff was mixed in so heavily with a lot of the pop stuff that was out there. So finding the new wave ones that really qualify as new wave was the biggest part of the research side of things. So what we're going to do, we're just going to each pick an album. We'll go around and we'll talk about the one album that maybe we want to talk about, and we'll go from there. So I'm going to start off with Dave, I think. I want to hear what Dave has to say.
I hope we all don't pick the same album. So.
No. Well, do you have any backups? Like, because I did.
I do. Too many.
Oh, see now. That's where I was like really struggling with this year. I'll be honest with you. 79, I know how impactful it was on the beginning end of the new wave movement. There's a lot of, like, I was looking through the names. I'm like, wow, these are all going to be huge in like 2 years from now. they're going to be off the charts, you know? But like 78, 79, there were still things that were just kind of like, it was like the beginning of working with clay, you know? You start off working with it and you don't really know what it is. It's still that the blob, like from Giggle Snort Hotel, you know. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I do.
Did
not.
You guys have, no. Did you no. guys have Giggle Snort Hotel? It was a kid's show.
No.
So Well, you guys went. You guys were talking about all those kid shows from like the 70s and stuff, right?
Right.
When you guys, with the first episode you're on, there's a show called Giggle Snort Hotel, and it might have been a West Coast thing, but no, because Chrissy knows about it too. It's late 70s. Look it up sometime. It's fun. Anyway, so it's like the formation of all these really cool bands that are about to just like completely go nuts. So
now is that why that's why we're starting with 1979 is because it was just kind of the emergence of new wave.
That's kind of the way I'm looking at it. I was thinking either 78 or 79 for our starting point, but I really don't want to just qualify it as 1980. You know, I wanted to start in 79 because I think it's an important year for a lot of albums. And we could talk a little bit about that, like some of the ones that maybe the ones not the ones that we're going to actually talk about. We might mention a couple that are just going to be big down the road, you know, some of the other bands. Okay. So, Dave, you want to start us off? Which one did you go with?
Yeah, it's interesting because of your setup, you were like the most impacting. And this was a struggle for me. And I want to paint the scene as to where I was in my life. So 1979, I would have been 8 years old for most of that year. Born in 1970, birthday's in December. So I'm dealing with 8 years old. I lived in a small town called Clewiston, Florida. Now, my dad was into country western. My mom was into like 50s, 60s rock and roll. So like anything from the soundtrack from American Graffiti, that's pretty much what she was into and listening to on the radio. Kind of like what I subject my kids to nowadays with listening to 80s. So I had the same kind of thing when I was stuck in the car with her. You know, she was picking the 50s, 60s rock and roll. And my older sister, she was into, I want to say, as close as you can get to a boy band kind of thing. She was into Bay City Rollers.
Okay.
Rollers.
So we're talking uber 70s here. So that's kind of the music that was in my immediate area, because the people that were controlling what was being played were listening to those genres of music. So I really, you know, being 8 years old, you really don't get control of the family stereo, the car radio. You go to the Elk Lodge or the VFW with your dad, and he may give you a quarter or two, but really your only choices are like, Elvira by the Oak Ridge Boys or, songs along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, New Wave wasn't even a blip on the radar for me. It wasn't even in my area that I can remember. So anything that I've done has been kind of as I've gotten older, revisiting, or not even revisiting, but visiting for the first time and kind of enjoying the music from back then. So when I looked at what we were going to talk about tonight, the 1979 albums, there wasn't really anything that popped out at me where I was like, I'm familiar with like the whole album. Mm-hmm. So what I actually did was I gravitated towards one that there's a song that I absolutely love on, and I wanted to listen to the whole album as preparation for this talk. And then I would tell you what songs I liked on that album and what songs I didn't like.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at. That's kind of the setup.
Okay.
So
sounds good.
I'm approaching this album from, you know, my 48 years of, you know, life. So it's not as impactful as, you know, it may have been if I would have been introduced to it earlier in my life, is what I'm trying to get at.
And I'll tell you, 79 was – I was just starting to get into music too. So some of these things are a little bit less impactful until I get into like 81, 82. Then it really started to make a difference. So I get it.
So the song that recently I have just become obsessed with that I can't hear it enough – is Joe Jackson's Is She Really Going Out With Him.
Nice.
So I cannot get enough of hearing that song. I love, 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 love that song. And anytime it's on, usually turning it up, I'm singing along. It is a wonderfully beautiful delivered song by Joe Jackson.
Pretty women out walking with gorillas down my street. From my window I'm staring while my coffee goes cold. Look over there,
where?
There's a lady that I used to know. She's married now or engaged or something, so I'm told. Is she really going out?
My mission before we talk tonight was I'm going to listen to the Look Sharp album, which that came off of, and kind of get my take as far as what I liked and what I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got to tell you that after going through and revisiting all the other songs, a lot of them I didn't connect with. And a lot of times the way I kind of relate it to is like, you know, in the '80s we had the singles. So if I would have had a single with like four songs from this album, I would have been good to go. All of the other ones really didn't do anything for me.
Okay.
So obviously the one that I just talked about, Is She Really Going Out With Him, was the best song out of the group for me, and that's usually the one that I would rewind, replay. The other one that I got is Got the Time. That surprisingly was a very fun, upbeat, kind of really poppy kind of song that I really got into. What surprised me was there's one called Happy Loving Couples. Love that song. And listening to the message of it surprised me, because he's actually talking about how wonderful happy loving couples are because they're always communicating and always doing the right thing, but he hates them. So it's like, there's an interesting message there, but it was just the way it was delivered and the way the song arc goes and the way the chorus goes, and you go, that's really kind of fun and you didn't expect that. So I got into that song. And then what's the other one that I liked? Let's see. I think it was Pretty Girls. So, all of those four songs, Pretty Girls, Got the Time, Happy Loving Couples, and Is She Really Going Out With Him, were the four songs that I liked. Every other one of them I listened to, but I could probably go the rest of my days without revisiting. And what I almost think is because those songs really have kind of more of an upbeat tempo to them, maybe that's why I connected with them today, which would make it interesting to revisit this album, because if I was in another mood where I wanted to hear something a little more slower, or, you know, like a slower paced, maybe I would appreciate those songs more. But today I think I needed something more upbeat, and that's probably why I connected with those songs.
Cool.
So I got a little bit of analysis as to why I liked the songs that I did.
That's good. You dug deep. I like that. Suzanne, how do you know this album well?
I was going to pick this album.
No way.
Nice.
Are you serious?
I was going to pick this album. Well, you know, I have backups, but this is the thing. The image on the cover of that album with the shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
And the shaft of light and on the cement. That to me is like one of the most iconic images of the, you know, like you're saying, it's not even really the 80s. It's 1979, but it kind of like opened the door for the 80s and everything that happened there. And I just remember, you know, in 1979, I'm older than you guys. I was 15 and I had my first job. I was a junior counselor at the day camp where I used to go as a kid. So I, you know, really thought I was, you know, hot, what have you.
As you are in teenage years.
yes. I remember hearing these songs on the radio from Joe Jackson, and just that like snarky persona, you just didn't really hear anywhere. And what you're describing as far as kind of the vanilla type of music that was out there, we didn't have a really cool stereo system at my house. We were in a kind of a low-end neighborhood. We got AM radio on in the car, and, you know, you heard stuff like, you know, Paul Anka and, like, Neil Sedaka, and, you know, we were just coming out of ABBA and the Captain and Tennille, you know, like, this stuff was still on the radio everywhere you went. But when I was out with my friends and people who, you know, actually got the cool FM stations, you would hear Joe Jackson sing, you know, Sunday Papers and Look Sharp and just kind of, you know, bark at people. And just it was a voice that you never heard before. Mm-hmm. And looking back on that, that resonated, I think, all through the upcoming decade. And if I did not see that album cover on every wall of every record store I ever walked into, it just haunts you.
So the songs that I wasn't a fan of, are there ones there that you are? Like Sunday Papers?
Yeah, definitely. Sunday Papers and Look Sharp. Everybody loves Is She Really Going Out With Him. These are the songs that were on the radio and I heard. I didn't own the album. You know, I was 15. I think I made like $50 from Ty the entire summer. I didn't have a lot of, you know, disposable income to go out and buy stuff. You know, I didn't have transportation to go to the record store at that point yet. Mm-hmm. You heard the songs that they played on the radio, and you were lucky to hear the ones that were more along the lines of new wave, because they didn't play them on the regular radio. They did a little later.
Yeah, not yet.
You couldn't hear them anyplace else. Right. I'm kind of flabbergasted now that you hear these songs now in freaking Walmart commercials. Seriously, Gary Newman's Cars is playing in a Walmart commercial.
Yeah.
When I was 15, you couldn't even hear it on like the regular WBLI radio. They wouldn't play it. So,
really? Wow.
No. You had to get the cool, you know, FM station, which, like I said, not everybody got. It just wasn't a regular thing. Mm. At least, you know, not in my house. But in any case, so those were the songs that you heard on the radio. You heard Sunday Papers. And you heard Look Sharp, and it's just so imperative, you know, Look Sharp. It's just like, you better get with it.
Yeah.
So those were cool, fun songs, if you ask me.
I do love that album art, that album cover art. Mm-hmm. That's something I think we've lost over the years.
Oh yeah.
Is the cool album covers, even going into the CDs, you know, we didn't see the same effort being put in as you did when you had the full size albums, and I have a collection of ones that were, you know, important to me in high school that we used to have hanging on the walls in frames. And when we first moved in here, actually, when we had an 80s party for our birthday, 50th birthday last year, and I have, you know, Pat Benatar and all that, some great album art stuff. And this the cover of this, I don't know if I've ever seen it before, but it's really a cool picture. I like that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those odd boots.
Yeah, it's just so boots, English, man. And yeah, overly formal, but yet, yeah, just I think they just went outside. I read about it. I think they just went. They went outside the studio, and his friend was doing, you know, some of the photography, liked the light, and took the pictures of the shoes, and they went inside. It was like a 10-minute thing that they did just, you know, extemporaneously.
Sometimes that just happens when you're doing photography. Sometimes that one moment just hits you just right at the right time. So anyway,
it makes me wonder how much of an influence Billy Joel had, or Joe Jackson had, on Billy Joel, because I felt like, you know, if you're looking like some of the cover art and just kind of the swagger that Billy had back in, you know, the early 80s, you know, did that, you know, was that kind of influenced by a Joe Jackson? You know, it'd be good to know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was a big Billy Joel fan too, I have to admit. I think he was influenced by the whole new wave movement once it started gaining momentum in the 80s. But I think 52nd Street came around this time, and he had a several albums before that where he was just more the balladeer and, you know, the lyricist and the piano player, piano man, you know,
yeah.
I want to get corny about it. But I think he eventually was influenced by it. Yeah. You know, he's a whole different kind of level of talent. You know, he's, I think it was, I think he tried to jump into a little bit more of the experimental kind of melodies, but he didn't really need that, I think, to be successful. I think he just went back to being him.
Yeah. Yeah, he could get away with just being kind of a natural performer, if you will, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. He didn't need much fluff. You know, it was just him, his piano, and he can, yeah, just make it happen. And there's magic.
Mm-hmm. No question.
So as far as the music goes on this album for me, I don't know it. I know the one song is She Really Going Out With Him. But I love that song. It's always been one of my favorites. You hear it on the radio, mm-hmm. you don't turn the station.
Yeah.
That would just be wrong. I am going to have to check this out, though. So I do like to do my homework as far as, like, when I get suggestions for music, especially when I did the whole heavy metal thing. I didn't know a lot of the bands that my two buddies brought up on that show. And so I ended up doing a lot of listening to new stuff afterwards, and I'm always very – very pleasantly surprised with suggestions. So I'm going to have to go back and listen to this one and see what Joe Jackson really has to offer. Now, I know the impact that he had on the industry at the time. That's something I do remember. Like he had something going on that, and because I was not quite into music yet, I didn't understand it at the time. So great pick though.
Thank you.
Yeah. So definitely. Suzanne, you want to go with your pick next?
Okay. So one of my many backups.
okay.
Yeah. 1979 was the year that the B-52s came out with an album that was just called B-52s. And they had several albums come out around that time where they were kind of similar covers and just, you know, it was this bright yellow thing with just like kind of, they don't look like they were kind of like smacked on coliforms clothing, you know, like little pastiche montage type of thing. If anybody remembers coliforms.
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome.
The red, the blue, and the yellow, you know. So then, and here they were, and, you know, the bouffants and the beehives, and which was retro. It wasn't even, you know, lost my headset. I think this band kind of defined the 80s. But yet, when they came out, they weren't 80s at all. They were very retro 50s and 60s, let's say.
Yeah, they were almost rockabilly style, kind of like the Stray Cats as far as the way they represented themselves. But yeah, it's
good. Yeah, yes, especially the image, definitely, which I don't know. I don't remember thinking was strange at the time. I just remember thinking it was kind of cool and kitschy and like thrift shop, you know, like
yeah.
Made you want to go out and search for vintage clothes. But in any case, as far as the album goes, Planet Claire is on there, 52 Girls is on there, Rock Lobster is on there, mm-hmm. and Lava is on there.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock, and there they saw a rock. It wasn't a rock. What's a rock?
Once again, did I go out and buy this album? It was kind of an underground thing at the time, but it was really, it was exciting to hear. It was exciting to hear. And these songs, like when, I think I'd mentioned one of our other discussions that I did this little 80s video challenge and wanted to pick songs that I thought were, you know, were iconic and wanted to, you know, pull a couple of B-52 songs and was disappointed to see that Rock Lobster actually came out in 1979. But this, to me, it was kind of the ultimate 80s party mix, is to hear these songs. I heard them at frat parties going forward for years and years. And at the time, just this whole masquerade party type of lifestyle that they seemed to be living just seemed like so free and off the wall. I remember sitting, you know, once again, you didn't hear them on the radio. You had to hear them from friends. You had to hear them from people who discovered them. Like, you discovered things. You didn't just hear them or download them like you do now. You had to search things out. So I had a friend in high school, and she was an artist. And we were, you know, in her car in the school parking lot or something, and she was showing me her sketchbook. And some of them were things that she had song titles at the top. And she would kind of scribble and do abstracts to different, when she was listening to different songs. And she was doing artwork to the B-52s and the Talking Heads. And she played me some of these songs and just thought they were, you know, the coolest, most experimental things I had heard. Just people just kind of screaming and wailing and making sound effects. And you could still jump up and dance to it. It was great.
These guys were out of their minds. They were very, they were doing something different than most people. Well, most bands were not on this level. And I'm not going to say that I was ever like a fan. Like I love Rock Lobster. Is such a strange song. It is the most bizarre thing, but I remember hearing it so much, in Southern California. We had a, radio station, KROQ. K-Rock.
I remember.
Yeah, and it was very, very famous. And this was one of their, you know, staples. The B-52s was basically one of their staples back then. And I'm trying to remember the name of some of the original DJs that were on. I could have sworn Richard Blade was on there at one point, but I could be wrong.
Anyway. I remember hearing about K-Rock. It was famous nationwide, but yeah, I couldn't listen to it. You know, I was stuck with the
right because we didn't have the internet for one, mm-hmm. and we didn't have satellite radio either. So I was fortunate enough to grow up in a really cool radio era in Southern California. We had some really cool, awesome radio stations. But anyway, I remember this growing up, and I recently saw the video again. I hadn't seen it in a long time. For Rock Lobster,
uh-huh.
And that is one of the most bizarre videos I've ever seen.
They were art students. They were experimental. You know.
That explains a lot.
Yeah,
that explains a lot. But this is a good pick, Dave. Do you have anything on this one?
Well, I just Googled it just because I wanted to get some more information on it, and they had said that this album was actually included in the book of 1001 albums you must hear before you die.
You should probably.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, outside of Rock Lobster, though, Suzanne, what would be the other go-to song on this album if you had to pick one?
Maybe Planet Claire, I guess. My son even likes Planet Claire.
Okay.
It's just once again there was kind of this like space age feeling where everybody was, kind of wanted to just blast off and be an alien, you know. Nobody mm-hmm. wanted to be stuck to the confines of, you know, the surface of the Earth. So I kind of liked Planet Claire. And 52 Girls, just a lot of kind of hard guitar and a bunch of names and just things being thrown at you. It was all very kind of random, and you could just make a song out of a list of, you know, girls' names. And just, you know, the songs, I think, it might not have been this album. I think some of the songs like just kind of like ran into each other, so you could just put it on and just not stop dancing, just go from one song to the other.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, they're very upbeat. They don't do ballads.
No. No, well, maybe later, but like they'd sing a ballad about like baking a cake or, you know, seriously, I'll play the song. It's fun. I think I'll bake a cake, you know, with a little, they had like a Georgia accent, and I'll go back and forth. Or my little dog kissed Lorraine.
Wow. So I didn't know where they were from. I was looking it up. I didn't realize
they're from Georgia.
From Athens, Georgia. I'm like, you don't really hear about anybody from Athens, Georgia. You know, so many bands are from bigger cities, and I would have never guessed Athens, Georgia. Okay.
Yeah.
They made it. They tried it. They must have really wanted it to get out of Athens and be what they became. So that's pretty cool. That's a very good pick.
Okay.
So, yeah. I like it. So it's my turn. So I'm going to go with one that this band became very popular in the 80s. And they have some really iconic songs, and that would be The Cars.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm cheering. Okay, yay, Cars.
And I went back and looked at, you know, when I was looking through this stuff, I'm like, oh, The Cars, you know, some people, I don't know if they would put them in the same category as New Wave, but I totally think they're in the New Wave category. They're heavy on the keyboards. Their style, their fashion style was very New Wave and very cool and very new, you know, very, very on the edge. But these songs on this album are really, really good. That's like the title track, Candio. I just love that song.
Candio, I need you. Sundress, ruby ring. Candio, I need you so. Could you help me in?
And then another one is, you run down the track list, and there's several that actually did pretty well on, like, Dangerous Type. What a great song. And I remember these songs very well growing up. And I think that's why this album jumped out at me, because this is one that I really knew well, because I remember sitting at my buddy's house, and I think I might have told this story last time you were on, Suzanne. He was into the remote control car racing, and I remember sitting at his house and hearing a lot of these songs at the time on the radio, and then eventually on MTV they really took off. But Let's Go, It's All I Can Do is another great song that doesn't get quite a lot of radio play, even on like satellite radio, but Double Life, I've totally like forgot about that song and went back and listened to it today. I'm like, this is a really cool song. What a nice little deep track to surprise you, you know.
I'm trying to remember that one.
It's pretty cool. You check it out. It's a fun one. They're really cool, and I never gave them a lot of the credit that I think that they deserve. Rick Ocasek was, he's a really good writer. He does most of the writing for this stuff. And then Benjamin Orr was the other major influence. They're the two that really started the band. But it's much better than what I remember from when I was growing up. But I remember hearing them all the time and liking them. But now I look back at it and I hear some of these songs, I'm like, man, these guys were really cool. Just totally different and
completely, yeah. And they had their own sound that nobody else had. Everybody was able to be very unique, I think, because you were able to push the envelope and do stuff that, you know, I don't think anybody would have gotten away with before in years before. And yeah, no question, I would agree that Rick Ocasek just was. I think he might have started that whole thing with the big black jackets, where. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the rolled up sleeves with the big, the black
giant
jackets,
shoulders,
the big shoulders,
giant shoulders, yeah.
That just like freaking swallowed you. And yeah. It, guys wore them, girls wore them. Everybody freaking wore the black jacket. Couldn't go anywhere without just a sea of black jackets all over the place. And to
giant,
me, I think
giant yeah. shoulder pads and rolled up sleeves. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Like you never knew. Like as a girl. You never knew how big the guy actually was because they were all wearing these big jackets. And then they take off the jackets and the shirts would have shoulder pads too. Everybody just had big shoulder pads. And you never knew what you were getting.
Just remember, it's not that's how big it is. It's how you use it.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Saw the shot. Go ahead.
All right. Well, that's not to say, but in any case, when I think of that look, I think of Rick Ocasek with the blazer and the sunglasses and the thick black hair.
Yeah, yeah, and he was an odd looking dude, very tall and tall and thin. He almost had a kind of an Abe Lincoln look going for him. Very
yeah,
long,
not like
very
a movie
long,
idol
skinny
or anything,
face.
But
very
really,
lanky kind of.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, but very cool and, you know, I got it all going on.
kind of Ramones kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing him in an interview maybe, oh gosh, this is probably 20 years ago. So it was, you know, well into his career, but he just seemed like he seemed very intelligent and very well thought out and just presented himself very well. So I'm sure he was a thinker during these times when he was writing this stuff. So mm-hmm. It's good stuff. So do you have a favorite song on that album?
Me?
Suzanne? Yeah, Suzanne.
Well, all the songs on this.
You like this one a lot?
All the songs on
this. That's, well, that's a good album.
I really. Guess Candio is really cool. Let's Go is really cool. It's not so much like I have a favorite song as I just remember a lot of really great stuff going on in my life. And hearing this in the background.
Okay.
No,
yeah, it's a soundtrack to your life. I get it. It's one of the many songs that are parts of the soundtrack.
Yeah, and consider what you know when you're 15 years old. This is when life starts. You know.
Right.
This
yes.
is when you go to the first parties and you walk in and these are the songs that are playing, and that's what I remember. This is the first time you go to a drive-in and this is what is playing on the radio on the way there. You know, this is.
Wow.
This is the stuff that you remember when you were so nervous, you know, about going, doing that thing for the first time that, you know, you were sick to your stomach. You were so nervous, but it was the most exciting thing that ever happened. And Candio was playing in the background.
Your description of that whole scene, like going to the drive-in and hearing the stuff, it gave me the chills, literally. I'm not kidding. So, like, I totally get the time that you were listening to this stuff like that. That 15, you're right, 15 was a really amazing time of life. You're really starting to let things, let music in and impact you. So, yeah, it's definitely like the soundtrack of your life. That's awesome. Dave, do you have anything off of this one? Dave?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just fantasizing about the cover art.
Oh.
I
needed a moment. I'm sorry.
It doesn't do as much for me as it does for you guys. Then.
That's a pretty cool cover, actually. That's good cover art.
I'm sorry. You guys were talking about something. What was that again?
No, the tire on that car is just so well drawn.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
the
it.
Tire.
Yeah, the tire. Yeah. It's a Ferrari, right? I think it's, yeah.
The headlights aren't bad either, but
yeah, those are great headlights.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the teenage boy is coming out. yeah, I've got nothing. I don't remember any of these songs actually. I mean, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at the track listing, and nothing comes to mind as, you know, me remembering these songs.
I guarantee if you went and listened to Let's Go, you would recognize it.
Oh, yeah.
You'd probably recognize Dangerous Type also.
Okay.
That's all I can do. You've heard them.
And it's all I can do. You've heard that one too, probably on the radio.
Yeah, once again, I think Staples is using one of these songs as a theme song now, so.
Are they really? It's probably Let's Go, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Kills me.
I think my favorite song on that album is Dangerous Type.
Yeah, it's a neat song.
And it's like the last time we talked.
She's a lot like you.
Yeah, it's like the last time we talked where they're... You know, there's the title of these songs that you don't know, but you end up knowing the song.
Yeah.
So it.
Yeah. So listen up. Let's Go. You'll at least recognize the guitar riffs and such.
Oh, right there. I got it. Okay. Just the way that you guys did that. You're right. I got it now. Yeah. I do know that song. Yes.
You know that song.
I do.
You might not know Candio. You might not know Candio.
But that's her right there, yeah.
Dangerous Type you have probably heard, and It's All I Can Do. I do think you probably heard those two, but just didn't recognize them as the Cars. So.
By the way, the model on the cover art is named Candy Moore, and she's famous for playing Lucille Ball's on-screen daughter on The Lucy Show.
Get out, really?
Courtesy of Wikipedia.
She went a long way.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice little bit of trivia there.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know if Lucy would be proud of this pose here. But once again, I think I've seen it on, I saw it on like every record store wall.
Uh-huh.
This album was hanging for years and years.
I could see that. I mean, you see an album like, an album cover like that. If you're a dude, you're going to pick it up and go, "What's this?" It's just the way it's the way our DNA is wired. I don't know. And I can see that. I can see why, because this would sell records. That cover.
Sometimes covers will do that.
Yeah.
Another cover that they really got famous for was "Shake It Up," which is another. Yeah, that's. It doesn't have quite the promiscuity, we'll call it. That one and what was the other album cover with the girl? It's just like her on. It was Heartbeat City, I think. No, that's not it either. What's the album cover that I'm looking at?
I think it might have just been called The Cars.
Oh, that was the original one, The Car.
Translucent steering wheel,
Yep. And that's the one with, I think, Moving in Stereos on that one, maybe.
Which is the big scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes, so, it is.
It's quite famous.
Yes. Yeah, I have the Blu-ray version of Ridgemont, of Fast Times. And they were talking about that scene and that back in the VHS days that there were so many requests to replace the VHS tapes because that section of the tape had been worn out in stores across the country. Like, it was the most returned VHS tape to the copiers or whatever, the producers. Or the production company, whatever, because they kept wearing out that one section of track.
Oh my!
On the VHS thing, because people would rewind it so many times. So that's great. It's funny stuff. Actually, that's a really good album too. That whole album, Good Times Roll, My Best Friend Roll, Just What I Needed. My gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Bye Bye Love. Oh my.
You got something to talk about for one of the other years, yeah.
No, that's 78.
Was that 78?
That was 78? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
78 kind of – they kind of blurred together. Like, these albums all came out bang, 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 one after the other. In fact, we were talking about Look Sharp. Joe Jackson made another album called I'm the Man right after that, which in reading about it was because he had so much success with Is She Really Going Out With Him that they were like, back into the studio. Here, do part two. And so, the songs kind of blend together. I didn't realize they were on two different albums, the songs on each of those, until later.
And they seemed to do that more back then. They used to be able to knock out albums. Like Motley Crue put out an album every year after they started, and so did Van Halen, except for they skipped 83, I think. But they were putting out albums every year. And now I listen to bands like one of my favorite bands now is Alter Bridge. The last album that they came out with was 3 or 4 years ago. So it seems like it's much longer between albums now than it was back then. They were knocking them out. Like you said, Joe Jackson had two in 1 year. There's a few other people on that list that I was looking at through the wiki list that had more than one album come out in 1979. And that's quite an accomplishment for.
Yeah, it's amazing. You really have to be prolific with the songs. And there's so many good songs. So.
Yeah. So anyway, so those are our three picks. Do you guys want to throw out a couple like quick honorable mentions like that could have been on your list, and we just won't go into depth on them? Suzanne, do you have any couple other backups? I know you said you had a bunch of backups.
Yeah, the Talking Heads had an album out that year.
Yep.
Which I think was something like Fear of Music.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, these were. I didn't necessarily have these albums or listen to these albums, but the songs were just there. They were, you know, they were in the background. They were what people were listening to. The Police had an album called Regatta de Blanc, which there
Message
were
in a Bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are a couple of really cool early Police albums that it was kind of nice at the time. It seemed like I'm not really as up on what the, you know, the chronology and the frequency of when, you know, albums come out these days. It seems like people kind of come out with one song and then everybody will download it and then everybody knows who that band is. And back in the day, like you could come out with an album and nobody ever hear it for years and years until like your fourth album. And, you know, then suddenly everybody's listening to The Police because Ghost in the Machine came out. And then you go back and you buy Regatta de Blanc and you buy, you know, you buy their early albums, you know?
Yeah.
And same thing with Billy Joel, who had like three or four albums before anybody even heard of who he was. So this was one of those albums. Regatta de Blanc was one of those albums. And it was there was a lot of really – they were a really talented group of guys, let's just say.
Yeah, this was – I like what Sting has done over the years. And what was the drummer's name? Oh my God. I just had it in my head a second ago. Copeland, thank you, Stuart Copeland. Really,
he's my favorite band ever.
I know, he's an amazing artist and drummer, and he had a lot of impact on that band also. Anyway, just that's a great one too. Let's see, a couple of the other ones that like jumped out at me, like as far as names and specific songs, The Knack. My Sharona will never never die in my library.
Yes.
It will always be in my rotation of songs. I love My Sharona, even though it's a really long song for the time too. Like it keeps going. But that's a great song. And then, like I saw the Tubes had like, might've been their debut album out that year. The Tubes went on to do a few cool albums too. Talking Heads, The Cure, early Cure stuff that I don't even know anything on that album at all, but I know that The Cure went on to do a lot of huge stuff. So, and we're going to get into that as we go through the next few years in some future episodes. We'll cover, we'll start, and we'll I'm sure we're going to touch on a lot of these bands that we're just barely mentioning right now. So anyway, so do you guys want to wrap it up for the show? Oh, Dave, should we do the mixtape thing?
Yeah, actually, I was going to bring that up. One thing that I wanted to mention, though, is because I made such
– Oh, yeah, I didn't give you any chance for honorable mentions.
Well, yeah, exactly, and I'm sitting here crying because I haven't had a chance to – I cry at night in my pillow when Scott leaves me out of the conversation, and I need a moment. But no – it's just dirt by eye. That's all it is. It's just dirt. That's all it is, guys. But no, One Step Beyond by Madness. I only know the title track, but I made such a big deal about them the last time we talked. I remember loving the song One Step Beyond, but I don't know anything else of that album. So I just wanted to bring them up for that.
Jeez, that was 1979, really?
Yeah.
See, once again, was not turned on to them until much later. I had no idea that song was from 1979.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a problem. I can't find the game.
You can't find the game.
Hold on. No, well, we just...
I have an answer to the song, though.
I know. I told...
I have an answer to the question from last time.
Oh, from last time?
Yes.
That's right. That was the prom dance question. Okay, so Suzanne, here's the setup. So last time we ended the show with a question about this mixtape game that Dave gave me for Christmas. It's a bunch of, it's like, I don't know, well over 100 cards. And you're supposed to play it with a group of people. And, you know, you go around and then you play the song and whatever. And everybody, you know, says how they feel about that song. And it gives you little scenarios on each card. And the scenario that we had for the last show that we recorded was, okay, you're at your high school prom and your date just left you. But the one that the person that you wanted to ask or to the prom is there and looking at you like they're expecting something. What is the song that you want to dance to with them?
In 1979?
This was just last time. So it could be any, you know, just from our growing up, I guess, anytime. But that's the way the game is played. So the cards give you a scenario, mm-hmm. and you just kind of pick a song that would go with that scenario. But I gotta put you on just hold on for a second. You guys talk about your prom thing for a sec. I'll be right back.
Talk about our prom thing.
I just remodeled Chrissy's office, and she moved it somewhere. So I gotta go ask her real quick where she put that game.
Okay.
Because I just saw it a few days ago.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on.
The point isn't to get another card with a different thing. We're sticking to this prom scenario.
What we're looking for is we're gonna answer that one if you have an answer, because Scott and I have had a chance to think about it.
And I can wing it.
Yeah, and so okay. It's
well, then we'll go. We'll stay with that question.
So then we come up with the answer with that. We ask the question for the next episode, and then we answer that one on the next episode.
Okay.
So that's why we were doing this, because actually, after he asked that scenario, I don't think either one of us was able to answer it. We were like, I need to think about that. So then the concept was, let's answer it on the next episode.
Okay.
So what was your answer, Dave?
Waiting for a Girl Like You by Foreigner.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Awesome.
That's a good one.
I think I had that album.
That's a great album. Oh man. I can go on about that one.
Was that four? Was that Foreigner 4?
Yeah, was that an earlier? That was four.
I had that album.
Yeah. I can remember one of the, like, I think it was seventh grade that when that came out for me. And I remember being at one of the dances and they played that song, and there was a mad rush of couples, you know, in seventh grade holding hands or whatever, going to the dance floor. It's very sweet. But yeah, that's a good pick, Dave.
Yeah, like I said, I need to digest the question and then come back with an answer. So that's when I'm able to like nail it on the head. if you ask me on the fly, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought about it, and the song that keeps coming back to my head, and it's kind of cliche because it's in the title. It's Dance With Me. Who did that song? Oh my God. Dance With Me. I want to be your partner.
Oh, okay.
Oh God.
Who was that? Was that like a Seals and Crofts thing?
Yeah, it was something along that. It was like Seals and Crofts. It could have been, well, I want to say Lee. I don't know why I want to say Leo Sayer, but I don't think that's who it is.
No,
that's not who it was.
Orleans?
Are we allowed to look it up?
Sure, look it up.
Yeah, that was right. It's Orleans.
Orleans, very good. Yes.
One of those kind of very steady stream of hits, 70s, somewhat nondescript. See them on Don Kirshner's Rock Concert Late at Night type of bands.
Oh, yeah. Or Saturday Night. What was that show? There was a TV show where they had bands on randomly that would just play on. Yeah, and it was right in that 70s. No, it wasn't American Bandstand. Oh, I'm gonna go nuts.
Not Don Kirshner?
Yeah, Dance with Me was released 1975.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I remember it being popular in at like the roller skating rink. You know.
Oh my god, roller skating rink. Thank you for bringing back that memory.
Oh god. Yeah.
Like fifth, sixth, seventh grade.
Yeah, seventh grade. Sixth or seventh grade.
All right, we're not.
So were you guys good with like the stoppers at the front, or did you have to go into the wall like I did?
No, I could kind of do the stoppers.
You were kind of good. Okay.
All right, we're gonna go with couples only. Couples only.
From the anxiety of the couples only dance skates.
Nothing like skating around in a circle for 4 minutes with sweaty palms.
Yeah. Get to talk for 2 seconds and hope that you don't fall on your ass. But it was so exciting.
Okay, so what song comes to your mind for that random prom song?
Okay, so when you guys described that scene, in my head, I heard Hold Me Now by the Thompson Twins.
Oh, nice. Good call.
Because I'm just a new wave chick and that's all there is to it. Although that was a little later than my actual prom. Mm-hmm. My prom was in 1982. Mm-hmm. And that was a senior prom, I guess. So, but even so, that to me is kind of just a very romantic, kind of soulful, but yet still cool, still out there and. You know, Tom Bailey was kind of gorgeous, and he was married to the woman who was in the band with him. That was kind of romantic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just that whole new romantic puppy shirt type of thing that they were doing. And I think he was some kind of musical genius from, you know, Juilliard or something or some other, you know, fabulous music school. But, yeah, he was able to produce some very moody, I don't know, a range of music that went from being danceable, you know, adorable to, you know, you just want to cuddle up with somebody and, you know, put your head on their shoulder. So awesome. That's the song I heard when you described that.
Cool. Good pick. So yeah, that's how we're going to play the game. So next episode that we record, I will have the cards in front of me. I forgot to grab them before I sat down. So I'll have the cards out in front of me next time, and we'll pull another card at the end of the show, and we will pick our songs. Sound fun?
Okay.
Cool. All right.
So I'm not even going to have something to think about. What the hell?
No, I don't have anything for you.
Fair enough.
I don't know where the car is.
Email
where
before,
right now.
You could email beforehand.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I could shoot your picture of it. So, Suzanne, you want to give your social media information real quick?
Yeah, SuzanneMatabone.com is my website. SuzanneMatabone. I have to spell it every time for everyone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's Suz Matabone on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook and Suz Matabone 80s on Instagram. And you get to see all my fun 80s memorabilia as I post it.
Awesome. You can find Dave and myself at – you can either email us on the show at McFly@BanzaiRetroClub. That's BANZAI RetroClub.com. And you can find us through that name also on Twitter and Facebook. And also, you can go to our website and download all the other previous shows and see some info about some of our recurring hosts. So, with that said, Dave, do you have anything else to add before we go?
Just if you've got one of those Apple devices, go out there and give us a rating review and subscribe to the podcast.
Absolutely. Good call on that one. So, you guys have a good whatever and be excellent to each other.
Bye-bye.
Will do.
Good night.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba! This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
Bonsai!